Praise the Lord, everyone. We are Angelo and Carrie Benetti with Make Straight the Way of the Lord broadcast. Stay tuned with us for the next half hour. Hear the word of God. We're going to be talking about the love of God and how we should all preserve that word. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Thank God we could be here this afternoon. Thank God for the word of God. I thank God I'm born again. My wife's here this afternoon, Carrie. We all make straight the way of the Lord. And we get those verses right out of the Bible. As we know, John the Baptist, he's the one who said, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah, which is Isaiah. And I thank God we could, you know, stand on the word of God, and with all our power, we try to make straight the way of the Lord. You know, what we've been talking about in the last few afternoon services is the doctrine of God, how we're supposed to uphold the doctrine of the Lord. And there's a distinct doctrine. You're not supposed to just fall into diverse doctrines or new doctrines people make up. I know a lot of people today do not really understand about the different versions of the Bible, and today we're going to be speaking about that. You know, the Bible says to prove all things. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, it says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, prove all things. And that's what a lot of people don't do. They don't prove anything. They listen to what their minister says, or their pastor, or their rabbi, and they just assume everything is correct. But what we do is we keep the word of God. We listen to what everyone's saying. We go back to our house, and we prove all things through the word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we always talk about in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. And that's what we do. We make sure that everything that we preach is not our own opinion. It's not a commentary of ours. It's not something, a suggestion. But it can all be verified through the word of God. You can read it yourself. Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about many scriptures today and many Bible versions. And my wife Carrie's here this afternoon. Praise the Lord.
That's right. And, you know, one of the greatest ways to show your love of God is to keep his word, preserve his word. And you know what sounds really ridiculous to say, but we have to do these days, is to defend his word.
Amen. You know, it says in Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So the word of God is preserved. There is a distinct, exact word of God, infallible, with no errors. And we believe that's the King James Version, which comes from the actual Textus Receptus, the original Koine Greek. I just thank God for Ben Chayin, which is the actual Hebrew. That's the text you need to make sure you have the right word of God.
That's right. And, you know, it's so scary, because if you ever noticed in life, just look at life every day, you see that, you know, when evil people do things to good people, what are they supposed to do? They pray for them, right?
That's correct.
But you know what? When evil people see something they don't like, they usually go destroy, or they kill, or maim, or whatever. And that's kind of what happened, you know, when the King James Bible first started, is that it made a lot of people angry, because at that time, the Catholic Church didn't want anyone reading the Bible. In fact, even today, I know the priest told Angelo's sister that don't read the Bible, you won't understand it. So that thought is still there today. But they went further than that, because back then, you know, before the Bible was even written, before the King James, Luther, he sparked the Reformation as multitudes rebelled against the brutalities of the Vatican, and they were called Protestants and heretics. So Luther translated the Textus Receptus manuscripts into the German tongue, giving Germany the Word of God. And now what happened in 1525, Tyndale did the same thing in English, and Rome burned him at the stake for his efforts. So that's what we see is the hatred of the Word of God.
Amen. You know, when I read the Bible, the King James Version, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure, and it's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And one thing that's very important to know is in 2 Peter chapter 20, excuse me, chapter 1, verse 20, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. You don't want any interpretations of the Word of God. But the Holy Bible is put together by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You know, I believe it was, I think it ended up with 47 different people that actually translated the Greek texts, and it was just an amazing accomplishment. There was no collusion, there was no plots. It was 47 different people cross-referenced. I believe everything was checked over 14 times for just to make sure it was pure, make sure it was in the Spirit, make sure it was for the born-again Christians in the future.
That's right. And today what we have is a lot of people are going back and questioning that. They're going back, looking at Greek, they're looking at the Greek Textus Receptus, and they're reevaluating it with their own brilliancy, which isn't really so brilliant. You really can't go back because it was actually written in Koine Greek. It was not written in Classical Greek or the Greek of today. So to go back and question them, and the problem with that is that in discussing the text of the Bible, the revisionists will often, they use the phrase, according to the original text. They talk like it's right there, right?
And there's
They go, according to the original text. You know, this leads one to believe that they have access to the original autographed manuscripts. And they do not. They do not exist anymore
That's
at this
right.
time. But nobody today has original writings themselves. In fact, no one does. So when they tell you they're going back to the original text, it's impossible. They were written on perishable material, and it's unlikely they ever lasted more than a few years, let alone 19 centuries. That's why the doctrine of divine preservation is so vital.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I just thank God for His Word. And one thing that a lot of people never talk about when we're talking about the Word of God is Jesus, Yeshua. You know, God is the Word. There's only one Jesus. There's only one Yeshua. There's only one Messiah. So when you're talking about this Word of God, there can only be one. And any other word would be an imposter, would be an antichrist, an anti-Messiah, an anti-Yeshua. You know, I thank God that the Lord's given us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and we can see these things because they're in the Spirit. You know, the Bible says that the Spirit gives life, but when you read the word in the letter, it kills. So you have to make sure you're in the Spirit of the living God. You know, I praise the Lord for my salvation. Thank God that we do have His unadulterated, undefiled, living Word. Praise the Lord.
That's right. And I think one of the ways to kind of show them, because a lot of people just go out and they buy a Bible. They're not sure which Bible to buy. They just want to read the Bible, you know, because they love God. They want to read the Bible. But they go pick one up and they don't know what they're picking up. So we're going to give you a few comparisons, you know, about the difference between the King James, the NIV, which is a very popular Bible at this time, and the NASB. And when you start looking at them, it's very frightening when you finally realize what they're doing. One of the first ones, a lady by the name of Gail Ripplinger, who's done a lot of work in defending the King James Bible. And before her, there was other ones. There was David Otis Fuller. There was a lot of people who gave their lives just defending the Word of God, which sounds like ridiculous that you wouldn't have to do. But one of the main verses that got her started was when a student came up. And in Isaiah chapter 14, on verse 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" And, of course, you see that Lucifer, it says Lucifer and it says son of the morning. And then what happened is that in the NIV, it changed the verse in Revelations where it says, let me get to this page, where it talks about Jesus, and it calls him the bright and morning star. It says, "I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." What they did is they changed Isaiah 14, and they took out Lucifer and called him O Morning Star. So it makes it looks like Jesus and Lucifer are the same.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's very scary.
You know, that NIV that you're talking about, that is such a demonic version of the Bible. I have a list of 17 total verses that are totally taken out of the Word of God. And that means if you were in a Bible reading group and you had your Bible, your King James Version, and they had their NIV, you would be reading verses that they don't even have. And that's so ridiculous. I mean, there's been thousands of words changed in that Bible.
That's right. And we'll go through a few of them. Another thing important to remember is that if you have any other Bible but the King James Bible, your Bible is going to be 10% shorter, at least. And not only that, as they progressively change the Bibles and you get more and more new ones, which you're seeing every day, there's a copyright law that says that it has to be 20% different than the one before. So therefore, what you're seeing is changes upon changes and wording different than wording and deleting of verses to make it different. I'm just going to tell you a few of them here that are very, very important. There's one here in Acts 8:37. It says, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Guess what? It was omitted in NIV. It was omitted in the NASB. Another one in Romans 13:9, it says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." It's totally omitted in the NIV and the NASB. First Titus 6:5 is perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. They took out "from such withdraw thyself."
And I just wanted to say, if anyone is interested in seeing these comparisons, we'll be glad to mail you a copy or give you websites you could look at. Just call us at 615-496-3041 or call the station here at WNAH, and we'll be glad to furnish you with the evidence, because this is all provable. It's not our opinion, remember. You know something, Karen and I always talk about is a lot of people that really love the Lord, and they're really trying their best, but they're not aware of the devices of Satan. You know, there's these Bibles that they're founded on these types of manuscripts called codexes. And you got to watch out, because there's a codex called the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus. And we could tell you a little bit about it right now.
That's right, because the original ones, as you know, the King James, was from the Textus Receptus.
That's right.
And it came from over 5,000 documents. And it's called the majority text. You'll hear the Textus Receptus or the majority text, because 95% of all manuscript evidence supports this text, right?
Yes. You know what? I always laugh about people have Satan has used people to start this phrase about the King James only people. When that's ridiculous, because if you do the study and you do care about your soul, what other Bible would you read when you find out the King James is from 95 to 98% of all 5,500 manuscripts? I mean, it is the received text. Why would you read something that's only 5%? Why would you get something that's inferior or that's so corrupt that it's not the Word of God? It's not the Jesus you're trying to serve.
That's right. So now, if we look at the second line, now there's the Textus Receptus majority text, which, as we said, supports 95% of the evidence. Now we go into the line of corruption, if you will. And basically this starts, actually, no more than in Rome, of course. And the line of text is written on vellum in classical Greek. It's not written in Koine Greek as the originals are. Remember, the New Testament was written on papyrus in Koine Greek, right? It is important to note the difference between classical Greek and Koine Greek, and that's for three reasons. Since the New Testament was written in Koine Greek, a manuscript copy in Koine Greek is apt to have a closer reading, of course. And there are 500 words in Koine Greek which are used in the New Testament which cannot be translated into classical Greek. Therefore, you've lost the true meaning. And number three, the majority of early Christians accepted manuscripts in Koine Greek in preference to manuscripts in classical Greek. So anyway, the Krupp line of ascension accounts for only 5% of manuscript evidence. So let me repeat that. 5% is in the corrupt line, right?
And you know what's a shame is all these theological seminaries and all these modern scholars of today, they practically worship the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. You know something? I'll tell you a little information on the Vaticanus, which is most worshipped. The Vaticanus is the codex with most of the Bibles today that you, when you go to a Christian bookstore, that's what it's based on. This manuscript was officially cataloged in the Vatican Library in 1475 and is still the property of the Vatican today. The Sinaiticus was discovered in a trash can at St. Catherine's Monastery on Mount Sinai. And, you know, it's just amazing how people worship these codexes. A fellow just wrote a new Bible, a Hebrew Bible. He said he's got the Hebrew scriptures and the Aramaic, and he's just translated, and he has a new Hebrew Bible. But I looked up his sources, and it's one of his sources was the Sinaiticus, which is right out of the trash can. So if the root is rotten, so are the branches. You know, we don't need another Word of God. The Word of God is complete. You know, all 66 books of the Bible, that's all you need. You don't need commentaries. You don't need Talmuds. You don't need any extra books. All you have is the Word of God. It's sufficient for reproof, for correction, for encouragement, for salvation. You know, I just thank God we do have the Word of God. And both these manuscripts we're talking about, the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus, they both contain the Apocrypha, which has nothing to do with the Bible.
That's right. In fact, the Apocrypha, if you remember, Jesus himself says that the Law and Prophets were until John. Well, we know that John had the spirit of Elijah, right?
Amen.
And that was in Malachi, the last book of the Bible. So that kind of says that. But you know what? It's really interesting, too. Have you ever thought about... Remember when they said the Dead Sea Scrolls were found and how excited everybody was?
Where'd they go?
That's right. And you know, the funny thing is you never heard anything for years and years and years. And it turns out the reason you didn't find out, I think they were excited because they were going to find something that was going to discredit the King James Bible. But the truth is, the reason you didn't hear anything is because it matches the King James Bible.
Amen. You know, a funny thing happened to me this last week. I was purchasing a Bible, and I have the Ben Chaim Hebrew text, which it's the actual text of the Hebrew, of the Tanakh, or the Old Testament as you know it, and it has the King James to the right of it in the column, and that's the authentic version. And when I called I'm not going to name the company, but you know, the big Bible societies that you're very familiar with, they carry every Bible. That is such a horrible thing. I'm very ashamed to say they carry anything, everything. But the Bible I wanted wasn't even listed on their internet site. But when I did a little research, I found out they had 200 of them, which they weren't even really advertising. So Satan is always trying to hide the truth, and he's always trying to broadcast these polluted versions of the Bible. My wife and I, we visited a neighborhood local Christian store, as it's called, and I'm telling you, I could barely find the King James Version. There was just rows and racks of, you know, inspirational books and every version of the Bible that's from these corrupt manuscripts. And the reason why we're talking about this afternoon is because you should study to show yourself approved. Know what you're reading, from whence it comes. Because if you just read any Bible, you will end up in a different Jesus, you'll end up in a different version. You won't end up with the real Word of God, and it's a very frightening thing.
That's right, because you know what happens is, you know, you can get saved by using the corrupt Bibles. I will say that you can get saved from watching a horror movie. There's a lot of things you can get saved by that makes people, you know, accept Jesus Christ. The only question is, can you stay saved, or does your Bible water down the Word of God? For instance, you know, in the New Bibles, the NIV, it changes the word fornication to sexual immorality. Well, ask a teenage kid what that means.
Yeah, they'll never know that.
They'll never know. That's right. Or it changes the word effeminate to homosexual offender. And that's why a lot of people think you can be a homosexual, you just can't be an offender, whatever that means.
Well, that's because that one was changed because of a lady, I believe her name was Virginia Mellencott, and she calls herself a doctor, which is a confirmed lesbian, and she helped put together the NIV, and that's just known knowledge. That's nothing we're making up, and it's not slanderous. It's just something that's common knowledge, public knowledge. And anyone could look this information up. You know, I was checking out the New King James today, which sort of has the name, or tries to trick you into thinking it's the King James Version, the authorized version. But the New King James, and I'll just give you a little example. The New King James has, these are the omissions it has. These are words that are missing. The word Lord is missing 66 times in the New King James. The word God is missing 51 times. The word heaven is missing 50 times. Isn't that a shame? The place where you want to end up. The word repent is missing 44 times. Gosh, just think if you didn't see that word repent. The word blood, the blood, is missing 23 times. The word hell is missing 22 times. That's a place you don't want to go to, so you want to know how to escape it. The word Jehovah or Yehovah is entirely taken out in the New King James Version. The word damnation and devils are entirely, the whole, every word is taken out. I mean, that should give you, like, that should put up red flags all over the place. You know, they changed the Textus Receptus over 1,200 times. And we can go on and on. It's just thousands of words changed in all these different versions.
You know what else is kind of strange? I was going to say funny, but it's not funny at all. Is even the Bibles, you've heard people call hell Hades, right?
Yeah.
Why is it they change, that they have the word Hades, which is a Greek word, and they keep that word Greek with all the English? Why don't they make it all English? You know what it makes it sound like? Instead of hell, an eternal torment, they make it, it sounds like a island in the Caribbean.
Yeah, it does. You know, it's such a weird thing when you just do a little bit of homework and a little bit of research. I was looking up the Amplified Bible today, and it's the same thing. Horton Westcott. These are two guys that wrote their own Greek manuscript. It's totally fraudulent, and it's based on that text. And I feel sorry for anyone who reads that Bible.
I believe that the NIV is based on that too, I believe. But what we're trying to say here is, you know, what's happening is the Word of God is being watered down. And that means that you're not getting the right word. And that means that if you're not understanding and it's confusing to you, that, you know, it's going to cause you to sin, actually. And, you know, that's not what we want. We want you to have the real Word of God.
Amen. You know, that's why, you know, I make sure we always read the Bible. And the Lord said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, that the Spirit says expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron.